is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, and that old wheel has rolled around again. It is Saturday morning and time for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And I can tell you, we're coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. Got our coffee, got our Bibles. Hey, we gather in the name of Jesus Christ. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And did John join us as well?
Yep.
Hey, good morning, John. And we say good morning to you, the remnant out there. And we thank you for joining us for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Hopefully you have your coffee. Hopefully you have your Bible. We might get to a scripture or two today. We have been known to do that here on the radio, and so you just never know. Lots going on out in the world, as there always is. I think the times are, once again, we're seeing it as it was in the days of Elijah. Choose you this day. Choose you this day. And some people are making that choice. Some people and some companies are making that choice. Maybe we'll get to talk about that this morning. Well, let's open up with prayer. I'll do that if that's all right with you, gentlemen. Well,
sure.
Good morning, Lord, and thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us. This day, the sun is shining, the birds are singing, Lord, and Lord, it's another day of life that you have blessed us with, and we thank you for that, Father. We thank you that, Lord, you called us out of the darkness of this world. Why? Well, the word says you call the weak and the foolish, Lord. So maybe that's why. But Lord, nonetheless, we thank you for it. We thank you for opening our eyes, for calling us, and for having us answer that call, Lord, and opening our eyes and our ears to the truth, Lord, the truth of your word, that your word is true from the beginning to the end, that you, God, do not change, that you had a plan for today, this very day that we gather here on the radio, Lord. You had a plan for this day way back before the beginning. We thank you for that, Lord. Help us to remember that. Help us to remember that you are in control, that you are, Lord, that things are going according to your plan. Help us to remember that, Lord. Father, we ask for your blessings to be with each and every one of us today, Lord. Give us the right thoughts to think and the right words to say as we gather today, Lord, for fellowship, to read your word, to talk about events going on in the world, and Lord, to honor you, to praise you. Father, we thank you for this ministry. We thank you for the foundation, Lord, that it was built upon, that foundation of Jesus Christ. We thank you for our pastor, Lord, that strived and worked and that, Lord, that dedicated his life to getting this true gospel of Jesus Christ. His death, burial, and resurrection, but Lord, who he came for and who he truly is according to the word. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for the work that's gone before us. And Father, we pray that you would guide and direct us and lead us down the path, allow us to continue to build upon that foundation, Lord, to continue to praise you, to continue to get your word, Lord, your gospel, your truth out to the remnant, out to the entire world, Lord. And we thank you for that. Guide and direct us today, Lord. And we just pray for a strong broadcast that it goes out on WTWW and all on the audio satellite and to the internet. And that, Lord, that it glorifies you and strengthens your people. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And if there's any folks out there that are listening in on shortwave and could give us a call, I could use a reception report. Just got a blast that said that we were off the air, so if anybody can confirm that out there, I'd appreciate it.
Amen. Amen. And if you do want to call us this morning, the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913, if you want to call in here. And we are coming to you this 23rd day of April, 2016, 6 weeks away from Branson, our family reunion. The Solemn Assembly has been called for this year, and right now, and has been for a month and a half, fasting is going on, and will continue to go on. That's part of a solemn assembly. And so the fasting has been called for, and the remnant has responded, and we're filling up the calendar, making sure that we are collectively, as the body of Christ, as the true Christian followers of Jesus Christ, that we are doing that very thing, that we are fasting. Some people a meal, some people a day. Got a call in yesterday, talked to a man, he's going to fast every Sunday in May and pray for the Solemn Assembly and for the remnant in America. So if you're called to do that, let us know here at the office. Let any of us know, and we'll sure get it on the calendar to make sure that we have that covered. You know, I mentioned... go ahead, Jason.
Looking at the news, there's so many things that are going on right now. It just seems like things gotten crazier and crazier, and you know, as you talk to people, and it's just, you know, it's clear that, you know, that times are changing. I noticed that, you know, this governor down in down south, you know, he decided that, you know, these felons, that they needed to have their voting rights restored. You know, Louisiana, Georgia have always been big on, you know, as far as felons are concerned, especially when it comes to rapists and child molesters, that they don't get to vote. And because of the long-pressing African-American voting power, because of the sad history that they had with that, he decided to go ahead and sign an executive order and give back 206,000. Yeah, that's 206,000 convicted felons. In some of them in prison, some of them out of prison, back voting rights. And, you know, I mean, you just look at and you think about the contrary, you know, the contradiction between, you know, and the difference between man's law and God's law. You know, man's law, you know, gives them back, takes away their voting rights. Ooh, we take away your voting rights. And then they turn around and give them back their voting rights. You know, God's law eliminates them from the gene pool. You know, I'd say that's quite a difference. And, you know, as they make a big deal about this, it's like, you know, it, you look at this voting system. I mean, I think that it's gonna, there's going to come a time where people are going to realize that, hey, first of all, it don't work. You know, look at who we've got voting for us. Look at who we've got running the country. You know, when you just add, you know, 206,000 people that are convicted rapists, murderers, child molesters into the voting pool, those, that gives them another percentage of changing the course of a country. God's law says eliminate them from the gene pool, and, you know, here Governor Terry McAuliffe says, oh, we're going to let them vote and have a say in the way this country's run. I mean, talk about insanity. It's just, you know, it's just one small portion of the insanity that we see. But, I mean, if you start comparing some of these things that we see with God's law and man's law, it really puts things in pretty good perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. You can see that, just like Richard started the program with, it's choose ye this day who you shall serve. If Baal be God, then serve Baal. But if the Lord be God, then serve the Lord. And as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord.
Amen.
And you can see that God is saying, decide this day, you know, which church are you a part of? The church of Laodicea or the church of Philadelphia? And the remnant are the ones that are of the church of Philadelphia. And, you know, the majority of the so-called Judeo-Christian churches are definitely of the Church of Laodicea. They've proven it time and time again. You know, the thing I think we fail to realize is less than 2% of the people in this country identify themselves as queer. Then, what's the percentage of those that are transgender? It's minute, but look at what's happening. But, you know, we warned about that as well. People say, oh, well, that's not a big deal. You know, just go ahead and, what was the thing in the military? Don't ask,
don't tell.
Yeah, don't ask, don't tell. So everybody's okay, yeah, I'm okay with that. Well, got news for you.
God's not.
As soon as the homosexual thing is on, yeah, God's not mocked. But as soon as this homosexual thing passed, we said the next thing was transgender. I mean, they're following the European Union is what they're following. And I got news for you. The next thing is pedophilia. And it's already, they're starting to show their ugly head with that. And at that point, you can't just be passive. You can't just stand by and watch. You know, it's time to start looking into the Avenger of Blood and Melchizedek Priesthood once again. I don't know. But we're sure going to obey whatever it is the Holy Spirit says to do, that's for sure.
You know, Malachi 3:6 says, for I, the Lord, do not change. And that's not the only place in the Bible that we're told that God does not change. He has not changed from before in the beginning, and He will not change today. And you look in Genesis 18, the Lord comes and is talking with Abraham, starting in Genesis 18, verse 17. Well, we'll start in 16. Then the men rose up from there and looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham was walking with them to send them off. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. For I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. And the Lord said, the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is indeed great, and their sin is exceedingly grave. I will go down now and see if they have done entirely according to its outcry, which has come to me. I think there's two main points there. Is it's the sin itself that cries out to God. And this sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was homosexuality, was the main one. That wasn't the only one, but it was other deprivations and degradations. And it cried out to God. And the other thing is that, I like what it says here, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm going to do? And the answer is no. God still tells his people the true Christian today, the true followers of Jesus Christ, he still tells his people what's going to happen, what he's going to do. And Sodom and Gomorrah, the people, the more out there that you want to be like them, the closer you get to their doom and destruction. Because they were great cities in their day. And they have been wiped off the face of the earth forever. And don't think that will not happen again. And so companies like Target that say, oh, we welcome all transgenders to use the bathrooms, the restrooms, and the changing areas of the gender that they identify with. So what that means, folks, is if you've got your son or your daughter in Target and they want to go try some clothes on, there might be a cross-dressing man or woman in that dressing room or in that restroom just waiting.
Now, what it means is you don't go there anymore, period.
That's exactly what
it
means.
Time. Us, even those that just call themselves Christian by name, take a stand against Hollywood and against all of these antichrists who all they have to do is threaten to take away some of their mighty dollar, and everyone bends over backwards for it. Whores galore in America.
Absolutely.
Dad wrote a book about that.
Absolutely it is.
But, you know, the other thing I think we missed too is I just looked and Hosea 4:6 is still there. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children.
Amen. Amen. The great thing about that is remember God.
And it's interesting because I talked to some people about that this week, you know, and basically when I talked to them, their attitude was, well, and these were our people. And they said, you know, what's God going to do now? How come God's letting this happen? How come God's letting this happen? And we, you know, talked about our job and their job. And, you know, I asked them flat out, do you tithe? And they said, well, yeah, we do. You know, we don't do the 10% thing, but we do try to. And, you know, it goes back to, you know, people can say whatever they want, but, you know, there's things that God has said for his people to do. And if you want that devourer to be rebuked, you've got to do, you know, that it's cause and effect. It's following a protocol. It's being obedient, you know, and people aren't ready to be obedient yet. I mean, and it's, you know, on a lot of different ways. I mean, you know, people can say, it can say this and say that, and they're waiting on God, and things are just, you know, going to hell in a handbasket. And, you know, there's things that people are commanded to do. You know, they're commanded to repent of their sins, turn from their wicked ways. You know, our people have an obligation to work. And there's a lot of people out there that are just plumb lazy.
Yep.
You can't, you know, and those are the things that people need to be looking at and saying, okay, you know, what can I do? What are the changes that I can make in my life?
Yeah, the reason that Target does that, the reason ESPN fires somebody like Kurt Schilling for making the comments that he makes about, you know, listen, if you're a man, use a man's restroom. If you're a woman, use the woman's. It's as simple as that. Anything else, you know, if you got a problem with it, it's your problem. Because it's our people's fault for putting up with that type of stuff, for not being faithful in the small things. People think, oh, we always think, oh, well, I'll do this. If I have to go be a Gideon, or if I have to go slay a Goliath, I'll go do that for you, Lord. I'll go do it. I'm ready. But they're not faithful in the little things. And just like you said about tithing, Jason, you know, God tells us time and time again. In Luke 16, was on the Bible reading plan this week. Luke 16:10 says, he who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. But it doesn't say that you're faithful in much and you don't have to, you can just ignore the little things. We have to be faithful in the little things, faithful in the obeying his word. You know, the guy that says, well, we tithe but not 10%, unless it's 12%, it's not tithing. You know, if it's giving when you feel like giving, if it's, you know, well, I'll slip a 20 in the plate every now and then or here and there, that's not tithing. But our people, so many of our people, they just don't know. You know, we're told to forgive. We're told to forgive or God will not forgive us. Matthew 6 talks about that. It's as simple as that. But our people don't. I forgive. Yeah, God's forgiven me, but I ain't forgiving that guy.
You don't know what he did to me.
You don't know what that guy said to me.
You don't know what he did to me.
That's right.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so the people, until they will start being faithful in the little things, they won't get the big things. And when they're not, when our people are not faithful in these little things, the wrath of God, that's the way it is. Read his word. You know, folks, that's one reason that we have promoted this Bible reading plan. What is this, third year in a row that we've promoted it? A daily Bible reading plan? And we're going to continue to do that. Because when you read his word, well, then you know, you don't have to listen to me. You don't have to listen to John or Jason or any pastor or preacher to hear what God says. You can read his word. That's one of the points of grace. And where we're at, we're on this side of the cross. We have Jesus Christ written down, the word. You want to know what his word says? It is your responsibility to open it up and look at it and see. Now certainly you might
this is key to learning.
Yeah. You have to read it.
And every time you get more each time.
Absolutely.
There's things that are hidden in there that if you don't put the effort in, God won't reveal it to you.
That's right.
That's the way it is.
That's right.
You can't just read Revelation and understand the whole book.
Nope.
God made it so that you have to read the entire Bible, and there's little snippets of truth in all the books.
Amen.
That you have to understand to be able to understand Revelation.
Amen.
So
yep.
I kind of laugh when people say, "Oh, I've read Revelation." I said, "Well, have you read the rest of the Bible?" "Well, no, not so much."
Yeah.
I'm like, "Well, then you wonder why you can't understand it?"
Yeah. Talked with Mr. Cox on Wednesday night after the prayer meeting, hosted the Hope is Alive program, and one thing I asked him about and we talked about, and that is that, you know, there's a premise there that God will allow what you will allow in your life. If you will allow sin in your life, God will allow it. If you will allow doorways to demons, conduits to demons to be open, you know, whether it's pornography or the filthiness that's on TV or whatever it is, if you will allow it, God will allow it. And that's one of the reasons we have the sin in the land, is because his people allow it. And you read through
pretty
the Old
profound,
Testament
really.
You read through the Old Testament, and it's what the people allowed. It's the people that went and played the harlot, and the people that wanted to be like all the other people. And when the people would do it, God would allow it for a time. For a time. And then, you know, finally God gets fed up. He certainly got fed up with Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, just like our pastor would tell us over and over again, the enemies of God understand their Bible better than we do. Better than most Christians, put it that way. And they know that all they have to do is to get God's people to sin, and they don't have to worry about fighting any battles or anything. God will destroy them.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening. I was appalled yesterday. I received an email from one of the financial companies that tries to, you know, tip you off on the next big thing. And it said it was a 30-second video, so I thought, ah, what the heck, I'll watch it. And what it was the new $100 billion industry, and basically it's a 3D device that you'll wear, but it'll be just like reality, and it's supposed to be reality of porn. And I'm like, I was so mad, I almost punched the stupid computer monitor. And it's like, wow, how low can you go, you know?
Amen. Amen. And Jason, I like what you had mentioned, you know, talking to people about, hey, are you faithful in these things? Are you doing this? Are you doing that? Because that's what we are to be doing. And our people don't know. Isn't that what we're called to do? That's part of fulfilling the Great Commission. Telling people, yeah, about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but you know, the rest of the story as well. And that's what we are to do. You know, it's good news. it's certainly good news. You read there in Malachi, you know, we read in Malachi 3:6, God does not change. And Jason, you talked about the devourer being rebuked. You want the devourer rebuked? It tells you right there in Malachi 3, and that's the page before Matthew, so it's easy to find in your Bible. And Malachi 4:2 says, "But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall." You know, it's calving time here at the Radio Ranch in most of the country. It is just life itself and joy in the symbology that he uses there. The calves that skip about from the stall. There, I looked in on one this morning. It's about, I don't know, 4 or 5 days old. And it's out there, and it literally is just skipping around in the corral. You know, it's a new day of life for it. The calf is fat and happy and just, life is good. And that's what God gives us right here. For you who fear my name. But if you read, you start in verse 1 of Malachi 4, "For behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and every evildoer will be chaff. And the day is coming, the day that is coming will set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. You will tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day which I am preparing."
Yeah, Claudine in Missouri, that's her favorite Bible verse.
It is.
Gives her hope.
Yep.
But there's so many Bible verses that give us hope as Christians. I mean, we read the end of the story, we know what happens, but that doesn't mean that these are tests, you know, and God only tests those he loves. And when you try to explain that to people, that you know, that's what God's doing now. He's weeding out those that aren't his. But we had two Dragon Slayer newsletters dedicated basically to that truth, that one truth about the importance of tithing, and tried to tie it into many different biblical teachings regarding the importance of that. How do I return, you know, says the Lord, you're robbing me, every one of you. And there's a lot of things that the Holy Spirit, I think, brought to light. But also regarding the sin in the camp. You know, you can't have the victory when there's sin in the camp.
Yep. You can't.
So if you haven't read those, and if you want them, call the officer, right, and we'll send them to you. But, you know, and some people, I'm sure, they were offended by that. But, you know, the scripture that comes to mind is, "Have I become your enemy for telling you the truth?" And, yeah, sometimes you do become their enemy for telling them the truth. But that's okay, because you have to tell them the truth. That's your obligation.
You're absolutely right, John. You know, out there we've become a society that, like Israel of old, when they had no king. And, you know, we're reading through the Old Testament. If you're reading through your Bible reading plan, and so in the last 6 weeks you've read at least two of the verses that tells us, in those days, all of Israel did that which was right in their own eyes. They did whatever they wanted to do. And to them it was right. Now, that's not a righteous thing. It doesn't say they were doing right. It doesn't say they were being godly. They whatever they thought was right with them. And that's where we've come. That's where we've gotten back to. People say, "Oh, well, I don't think I need to tithe." Well, that's what you think. The Bible says otherwise. People say, "Well, I think all I've got to do is believe in Jesus. That's what you know. Romans tells me, believe and I'll be saved." And it does say that, but it says a few more things as well. And, you know, don't be that way, folks. Don't be that way. Don't be just because that's what grandma told you or grandpa. not knocking grandma or grandpa, but, you know, maybe God has more in store for you than he did for them. Maybe you have a different calling. You might have a greater calling. He says, come out of her, my people. Come out of her and do not participate of her sins and of her plagues. And that's the call today, is come out of her.
Second Timothy, I sent this out to the men in the prayer breakfast yesterday as the scripture for the day, 2 Timothy 3:1-5. But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Boy, if that isn't what's going on today.
Amen. You know that one thing,
but
you said, haters...
Avoid such men as these.
Yes.
Avoid such men as these.
Yes. Haters of good.
Are those who enter into the house. Yeah.
Haters of good. Boy, don't you see that everywhere? You know, you certainly see it in the news everywhere. Haters of good. Lovers of evil.
Yeah. I was listening yesterday, and they're just... People are afraid, literally, of standing against this establishment, you know, that's pushing this perversion. And they're saying, well, if you stand against it, they'll call you a bigot. Well, you know what? Count it a blessing if they call you a bigot, because look at the origination of that word. It was, by God, you will not do this. It was, by God, by my God, you will not do this.
Yeah, this deal with...
People don't understand that.
This deal with Curt Schilling, and I just saw it on The Blaze. I don't watch ESPN. I haven't had cable for going on 20-plus years now. But ESPN has terminated Schilling, noting that they are an inclusive company, and it was because he posted a Facebook, whatever they call it, note about the basic functionality of men's and women's restrooms. And the post showed a man dressed as a woman with a caption referring to the transgender bathroom laws that have made headlines frequently. And this was the quote, let him into the restroom with your daughter, or else you're a narrow-minded, judgmental, unloving, racist bigot who needs to die. And see, that's the love of evil today. That's the day that good is called evil and evil is called good. Well, you know, it's going to come down to that. It was that day in the day of Phinehas. The plagues were, the sin was in the camp, and the plagues were coming on the people, and Phinehas stopped the plague. There were 20,000 something that died then. And Phinehas saw this and he stopped it. And you know, people, is that what it's going to take again? Is that what God is going to call up again? How far? And you're right, John. The homosexuality was just a beginning. This transgender stuff is just a recruitment practice. It is a way to recruit. You know, we don't have, you know, if you're born that you just think you're a murderer, you know, they put people in jail for torturing dogs and cats, for killing dogs and cats. And so I don't know why they don't use the argument, well, I was just born that way. It's what I do. It's who I am. Well, it's sin. And you better repent while you can. It's a repentable sin. You can repent of it. But it's sin, and you better repent of it before that great and terrible day, because there's a day coming that it's going to be too late to repent. It's going to be too late. And then you will face the judgment.
Absolutely.
And yeah, it was mentioned earlier about Target, and I'll just put it out. If you continue to shop at Target, you are aiding and abetting the enemy. The enemy that is boldly standing up is in the day, the like the tares in the days of harvest, boldly standing up and saying that you know, target, oh, we approve of this. We want everybody to know we stand on this side. You know, the command has gone out, choose you this day whom you will serve, and target has said, we will serve the perversion, is what they have said.
Baal.
We will serve Baal. We will serve the perverts. It's okay to have sexual perverts come in here to our store, and we want you to spend your money here.
Yeah, so, by the way, if you wonder who owns ESPN, it's Disney. So,
yep.
When you support Disney, you support ESPN, and you support all of these things that against our God.
I had a Disney vacation planned. Ha ha ha. Not really. You know, I worked at Disney, oh geez, 30 years ago, for about 9 months. Right out of high school, going to college, needed a part-time job, and you could see the flaming, filthy faggots then. The change was taking place then, 30 years ago, and it's all but complete today. It really is.
Not as prevalent then, though.
No.
I mean, back then, they kind of feared getting their butt. You know, we used to play. I remember when I was a kid in school, we used to play this game called Smear the Queer. And, boy, imagine if you tried to bring that game out again. But yeah. I was reading this story in Dave Hodges, and it was about this bathroom issue. And they have that the man, the most popular, I forget what it is, most intelligent man in the world, the guy who does the Dos Equis commercials, and it says, I don't always go in the women's restroom, but when I do, I am kicking a pervert out. It's kind of funny.
You know, we laugh about it, but what's it going to come down to? What's it going to be when, you know...
It's going to come down to that.
Yeah, you can't even go out in public. You can't use a public restroom without fear of some pervert being in there.
You know, for a guy, it's not the same. It really is, because a woman sneaking into a guy's bathroom, I mean, I'm pretty sure if you can't handle yourself in there, then you have bigger issues. But it's your wife and your daughter, and
yep.
Going into a women's restroom, that's the real issue. And it may come to that, where some lady comes out and says, you know, hey, there's some guy in there or something. Maybe that's when we need to step up and go in there and you know, take care of business. But I don't know.
Well, it's just got to be a moving of the Holy Spirit that causes that, you know. But I think I think we're getting closer to that. We really are. How long, O Lord? You know.
Yeah.
We're not to sit back and wait on Him to do everything.
That's why it's critically important that we be able to hear from the Holy Spirit and obey when we hear. Not knowing what it is, but
and what prevents us, John? Let me put that question out. What prevents us from hearing from the Holy Spirit?
Sin.
What separates us from God? You know, you'll get so many will quote that New Testament scripture. You know, what can separate us from the love of Christ? Can death? Can tribulation? Can you know this or that? No, nothing separates us from the love of Christ. But sin can come between Him and His people. And the Bible says sin will have it where your prayers are not answered. And so, you know, and what is sin? Oh, doing things that are unpleasing to God. Doing things that are bad. See, those are the definitions of those that do and think that which is that which is right in their own eyes. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says sin is transgression of His law. And the last thing He said in Malachi was, remember Moses and the law.
Yeah, you know, we think sometimes that this is something new. Well, obviously it's not, just by the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, but even in not so recent or not so distant history, remember J. Edgar Hoover. I mean, he was a filthy faggot, pervert, queer, probably transgender, who the heck knows, but the difference is, back in that day, what did he do? He kept it secret. He hid it from the people.
Yeah.
But now,
Now it's in your
boldly
face.
Boldly displayed.
Right.
But it's our fault. It's the Christian's fault. We fell asleep as the watchman over the house of Israel.
Yeah.
And the times has come that, you know what, we can no longer be silent.
Well, we're
can
waking.
No longer worry about our own personal gain and our own possessions.
Yeah.
We're going to have to stand up. That's all there's to it.
We're waking up. We've fallen asleep, but guess what? We're waking up. The prayers from Isaiah of awake, awake, O Zion. Guess what? We're starting to wake up. Let's go to the phone lines this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yes, Richard. Hi, this is Joe.
Hey, good morning, Joe. Let me pour you a cup. We got a little coffee on this morning.
I need mine warmed up.
I've about finished mine already. We're halfway through the program. I could as well. How are things in Pennsylvania this morning?
Oh, pretty good.
Good.
Yeah, last night, I think most of the evening, if not all of it, when I switched the radio on, it was dead on 5830. And I just checked it here a while back, and it's still not. It's just dead air. So.
Yeah, that's what the reports that I've been getting to.
All right, well, see if we can figure out what's going on.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I'd like to comment on the latest Dragon Slayer on I think page 12, and it's where it's page 13, a witness for you or against you, and it says about Joshua and the people. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made for them a statute and ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. Joshua said to the people, "Behold, this stone shall be a witness against us, for it has heard all the words, the stone did, all the words of the Lord which he spoke to us. Thus it shall be for a witness against you, so that you do not deny your God." And so I read in King James Bible and the New American Standard, and it's pretty much the same thing, word for word. But in the Septuagint translation, page 398, Joshua 24. Yes, that was Joshua 24.
Yeah.
26 to 27. And when he had written these words in the book of the laws of God, he took a great stone and set it up under a fir tree which was over against the Lord, not the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to the people, "Behold, this stone shall be among you for a witness. It shall be among you for a witness that it hath heard all that were said by the Lord." Again, it says, "It hath heard." And for he hath this day spoken to you. And this shall be among you for a witness in the latter days, whenever you prove false to the Lord my God.
So, Joe, how does a rock listen? How does a rock hear?
Yeah. Like, going back to when Pastor Peters, I guess that was back in 2009 or 2010, around there when he started talking about frequency, perhaps that stone that he set up was a piece of quartz.
That rock is Jesus
pure
Christ.
Quartz are used to... they used to be used in radios because they had a vibratory rate set up when they...
Right. Well, whatever the physical rock was, Joe, I think we all agree that rock alludes, it points, as most in the Old Testament does, it alludes to Christ.
Yeah.
And that's why we put that graphic there. Jesus Christ is our rock. Ephesians 2:20, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone.
Mm.
It was Christ that heard them then. It was Christ, it was symbolic of Christ anyway, that this stone, that it is a witness against us. And it is. But it's also a witness for us.
I've got to look a little bit more into the stone because of the stones that were in David's pouch there. I never really looked into that. I never really gave it too much thought. But
well, it says he gathered five smooth stones as he went out. And our pastor, you know, reminded us that those weren't the only stones he needed to face down Goliath.
Yeah.
But you'll see also when you look through, when you look through and see the boulders that they set up, the stones, the rocks, that all through the Old Testament when they passed through the Jordan and they set up these temples, they were remembrances. It was, you know, so that when you teach your children, you'll remember, you know. And that too alludes to Christ, that, you know, that we are to teach our children. We are to teach the people so that they know and they remember that Christ is our rock, you know. And it says there, Isaiah 44, is there any God besides me? Indeed, there is no other rock. I know not one. And you go back to the Song of Moses, it talks about the rock. Your rock is not their rock. In the Song of Moses, you see that. And so there's a good bit there. There absolutely is.
Well, thanks for the coffee.
All right, Joe. Thank you.
So you guys have a good one.
You
thanks
too.
A lot. And God bless.
Amen. Excellent point, and that's new. That's Dragon Slayer Volume 3. It's called A Witness, and it is a little different than most of the newsletters. Just about the whole thing is committed. It talks of the Passover makeup day and how important that is, and that is May 2nd. It's only, 12 days out? And so if you didn't properly observe the Passover on April 2nd, no, the Passover wasn't yesterday. That's marked on your calendar. That's the Jewish Passover. That's not the Passover of Christ. That's not the Passover for us. But if you're not familiar with it, Passover. It's one of the most important days, one of the most important observances of the year. And if you're not familiar with it, on the inside cover, we're advertising the pastor's book, Solar Sanity versus Lunar Lunacy, in calculating the Passover, and also the book, Communion, and its potential blessings, curses, and need. And you know, we've had a good response. We've sent several of these little packets out already. And so we have those available. And just about the entire newsletter, it's a witness for you or against you. And so we don't charge for the newsletter.
It's so important that it's a prerequisite to attending the call for a solemn assembly. So
it truly is.
Understand that.
It truly is.
And you have a second chance if you didn't keep it. So there's really no excuse.
Yep. Yep. And that Passover day will be May 2nd.
May 2nd.
But it is that important. It's that important. It's like that final exam to get out of high school. Well, I was sick that day. Okay, well, you get a makeup day. The Bible talks about it in the scriptures. And again, that's not just something that we thought up. That's not something Pastor Peters thought up. It's something that the Holy Spirit revealed to him in the Word, and then he shared it with the remnant, and he shared it with us. And it's truth. And so we continue to share it with you and continue to put it forward.
Amen. I don't know if you guys saw, but one of the things that I flagged to try to speak about this morning was Wycliffe and several other Bible printers, I guess, are looking at printing, or they have. I can't really find the full story on it, but printing a Bible, removing God and the Son of God in Jesus. And apparently they've already created a series of books called The Prophets, an Arabic Bible that uses an Arabic equivalent of Lord instead of Father, and Messiah instead of Son of God or Jesus. But, let's see. Let me find where it is.
Yeah, I haven't heard that about Wycliffe. I know Wycliffe are Bible translators that are translating the Bible into all the different languages and those type things, and had some people killed in the Middle East, some of their translators, just first of the month.
But what they're justifying is...
Yeah, and I've read some things...
I don't know if it's Wycliffe or not, but...
Yeah, and I've read some things where the supposedly the Muslims have a different understanding of of brother and father and those type things.
This is what they said they changed in Matthew 28:19. I mean, and this is significant, obviously. For example, the verse which Christians use to justify going all over the world to make disciples, thus fulfilling the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19. In this Bible reads, cleanse them by water in the name of Allah, his Messiah, and his Holy Spirit.
That ain't scripture.
Instead of baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think, Jason? Does that sound straight up to you or more of a perversion?
Yeah, that's a perversion.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, but the good news is, what is it, the last verse in Revelation that says, anyone who adds to or subtracts from these words, may all the plagues in this book come upon him.
Well, and, you know, people got to remember, you know, who did Jesus warn of? He warned of the scribes and the Pharisees, you know? And the scribes were the ones that wrote the stuff down. They were the translators. He was warning about him back then.
Yeah. You know, the point that Joe makes is a good point. I think often we forget that our Septuagint is such a great source of reference.
Yes.
And, you know, often I have one in my drawer at work and I have one at home. But, sometimes you just forget what a great resource that is. And just a couple of words can change the whole meaning. And they know that, too. The enemies know that, too. And I think I've compared New American Standards with people at times, and some of the new ones, I think, have been perverted in some ways, too, and a word here and a word there, you know. I've been looking to try to do a study on that as well, but for sure the New King James is perverted. There's no doubt about that.
It is.
But anyways, the scripture was Revelation 22:18-19. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book of his prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city which are written in this book.
Amen. Amen. And you know, that's one of the reasons that pastor promoted. He sure enjoyed the New American Standard, thought it was a great translation, but he'd be the first one to tell you, and did tell us, it wasn't perfect. It wasn't any more perfect than the 1611 King James. And that's why, again, we use different translations. Some are certainly better than others. That's why the pastor did a multi-part series on the King James only deception, because you've got some out there that go that, you know, so radical that way that, oh no, the King James 1611 is the absolute word of God. They think that it's just like the Ten Commandments chiseled in stone by God to Moses, and it's just not that way. You can look at the 1599 Geneva.
Oh yeah, you're going to hell if you use something else.
Yeah, and that's not right. It's not. You know, you look at it, the 1599 Geneva Bible that we carry, that's a reprint that probably I'm not going to get any more till fall. They've got a back order on them, and so it's really caught on. You know, we've sent out hundreds of those and went to reorder them, and I'm sorry, they're on back order till September. So you know, hopefully that'll get straightened up. But you know, the 1599 it predated the King James. And it had tons of, granted, men's footnotes, but it was, you know, notes regarding basically civil authority and the application of these scriptures. And so our pastor encouraged us all to use different translations, to look at them, to compare them. That's why we carry the Septuagint Bible. And the Geneva, when we can get it, and the New American Standard. And yeah, the New American Standard, there's a 1977 and I think a 1995 update. And there are a few word differences. And so there again, doesn't the Bible tell us it's a matter of kings to search out a matter? To look, to be as, was it the Bereans that looked in the scripture to make sure things were so? And you might have to look in several. You might look in your Geneva. You might look in your Septuagint, your New American Standard. See how the King James compares. You know, if you have an Amplified Bible, you can look at an Amplified and see, you know, how the translators used additional words to explain the meaning. It's part of what we're to do.
Remember, the Bible warns us of a drought, too. A drought not of food or water, but a drought of knowledge. And makes you wonder sometimes when they say, oh, we can't get those Bibles for 6 months or whatever, if the enemy doesn't have a hand in that, trying to keep those truths. Because that Bible, you read just the beginning of it, and you understand who that great whore Babylon is, Roman Catholic Church. They understood it in 1599, and there's prayers in the back of that Bible that are so powerful.
Yep.
That whole book is, and then when you read the commentary of those Puritans, basically, you know, that feared God, and they they reverenced God, and they did count on God for their daily bread, and they did praise Him in all things, even in the disasters and the, you know, the things that weren't considered a blessing. They, you know, they praised God for all things. And I don't think that the enemy doesn't want to keep that out of the hands of our people as well.
Amen. Well, there's that hour, gentlemen.
Those books you have.
Sorry?
Treasure those books that you have.
Amen. Amen. Well, guys, we're out of time. Want to make sure we put out an invitation to church. We will, the good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, we will be at church tomorrow morning, and we invite you to join us. You can join us at 10 a.m. Mountain Time, 11 a.m. Central, noon on the East Coast at scriptures4america.org and click on the live video stream, and we'll be there. And so we hope you can join us. Well, guys, again, thanks for joining us. If you want to write to us, folks, our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535.
Rolling, stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, big high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, barking will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out.